We live in a very sentimental age, don't we? We go to movies to have our emotions manipulated. And from what I hear, sometimes women go to a movie and if they cry, it's a good movie. And then they go back again and they cry again and it's still a good movie. All right, so that's great for you ladies. I don't want to cry at a movie, although I've been known to, but I probably won't go back and see it again. So, but anyway, we want to get wrapped up in the emotions of what's going on, and we want to we just want to have our emotions fed into, and you know, there are companies out there that manipulate our emotions to get us to buy their product, right? Everything from a car to chicken nuggets can be sold with the right background music and the right facial expressions on the actors. They may not even tell us anything about the product, but we got into that song, right? And that morning sunrise scene there at the beginning, and boy, I gotta have breakfast at McDonald's now, you know? And so they manipulate our emotions. And this, of course, spills over into the romantic lives of our young people who think that all you ever need to live happily ever after is true love, right? And those of us who have been married for a while are like, oh, please, hand me the barf bag, right? We know you need something other than just true love to survive a marriage, right? It's not enough, but anyway, they think it's enough. And God forbid they should ask mom and dad for advice or rabbi for advice or whatever about so-and-so. Does this logically make sense? They don't do that. It's just, oh, it's all about love. Because that's what Hollywood has taught them and their friends have taught them. And if mom and dad disapprove, that might even add to the romantic excitement of it, a whole Romeo and Juliet kind of thing. So, but look, I'm not up here to mock emotions. Emotions are an important part of our human makeup, a very important part. And our relationship with God should be emotional, right? God meets our emotions. But there is an imbalance in our lives, in our society, in our spiritual lives that we've got to rectify. There's an imbalance. But like I said, emotions aren't bad. God meets our emotions. Psalm 16, verse 11, you have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Joy is an emotion. God meets our emotional need for joy. Psalm 72, verse 21, you will increase my honor and comfort me once again. That's a nice emotion, to be comforted. This is an important emotion. If you're not getting comfort from the Lord, you need to seek after that comfort. He will comfort you, right? Psalm 13, verse 15, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. The Bible's all about love, right? Love is an emotion. Not only an emotion, right? People make a point of saying, well, love's a choice as well. Love's a choice to be self-sacrificing and so forth. But there's a strong emotional component to love that we need to have met in the Lord. These emotions are good. So if God meets our emotions, and the Bible teaches us about having our emotions met in Him, where is the imbalance? Where are we missing it? Matthew chapter 8, verses 21 and 22, okay? This is about Talmidim, disciples, learners, wanting to follow Yeshua. Another of his disciples said to him, Lord, allow me first to go and bury my father. But Yeshua said to him, follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead. All right, that's not very emotional, Yeshua. You know, I thought you were here to meet my emotional needs. I want to go bury my father, and you're saying let the dead bury their own dead. It's hard, right? It's difficult because we are so used to I need my emotions met. Right? Matthew 10, verses 35 through 39. For I came to set a man, this is Yeshua speaking, for I came to set a man at odds against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's foes will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who doesn't take his cross and follow me isn't worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. All right, God, you're messing with my emotional equilibrium here. You know, this is stark stuff, that God will call us into things that are emotionally very trying and very difficult, that there is time for self-sacrifice that has nothing at all to do with our needs, our emotional needs being met, that somehow is not the center of the universe. In all of our focus on our emotional needs, we've forgotten that the foundation of our faith is not about getting our needs met, but about standing in awe before the Lord. Standing in awe before the Lord. Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord, Yirat Hashem, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. You know what I hate? I hate how all the California surfer dudes have taken the word awesome to mean that somebody just did a wheelie on their skateboard. That's awesome, man. All right, that's not awesome. What's awesome is that God created the heavens and the earth, right? What's awesome is that God sent his son to die for our sins. What's awesome is the resurrection. What's awesome is God allows us to stand in his presence. That's awesome. I don't care how cool your new surfboard is. That's not awesome. Might be nice. It's nice. We'll use nice. But we're not going to use awesome. Awe-inspiring with that hint of fearfulness in it. Standing before the Lord in fear, in honor, in respect, and somehow a mix of both dread and safety. Somehow a mix of confidence and trembling all at the same time. He's my Father. He's also King of the universe, right? He's the friend that sticks closer than a brother, but he is also the creator of all things. You know, this is, we've got to stand in awe before him. Psalm 8, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength. You know what gets me? I don't know what David and those in David's time thought of the stars and the universe, right? We've had a lot of scientific advancement. What drives me nuts is that with all this scientific advancement, whenever I read about it, I like to read about scientific things. I'm not an expert. Don't ask me what the speed of light is or anything like that. But I like to read these things because it increases my awe of God's order and God's universe and the greatness of it, the vastness of it, the way it works together. Do you know we're connected to the stars? In that the stars, the chemical and physiological processes that happen in the stars put elements into the universe that allow us to exist. That's awesome to me. And for some stupid reason, science thinks that they're dispelling the awe of the universe. Some scientists, you know, those who really understand what's going on, they're growing in their awe of the universe and of God's creatorship. But some people think, you know, high school science teachers who don't really always know what they're talking about think that somehow we can explain things through science and we'll explain this and we're discussing. Look, we have more questions now than we ever had. We have more knowledge now than we ever had as well. And it's awesome. And so when he says, you've set your glory above the heavens, That should mean more to us now than it even meant to David, that God's glory is even greater than the created universe. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? There's not one word here about, God, thank you for making me feel all warm and fuzzy on the inside. Not that he doesn't do that. Not that he doesn't provide those places of comfort. But this is just flat out awe before God, the creator, the sustainer, the savior. This is awe before the living God. This is why when he says to the man, let the dead bury their own dead and come follow me, we should be so in awe of him that, okay, this makes sense. If Messiah, if Yeshua, if Jesus were a great prophet, that's totally out of place. Let the dead bury. No, you go take care of your father, right? And the commentaries sometimes try to excuse Yeshua's words here a little bit. Well, probably his dad wasn't actually dead. He wanted to go back and wait till his dad died, gain the inheritance, and then go follow. We don't know. We don't know the full background story, but the message here is we should be so in awe of who this man was, who this man is, who God in the flesh revealed to us is. God, that he should be on a cross. God, that he should rise from the dead all for us. We should be so in awe of this that we say, not even my father and my mother compared to this. Not even my son and my daughter compared to, not even my spouse compares to this. I am so in awe of you that whether it brings me emotional comfort or emotional turmoil, I'm going to follow you, Lord. I'm going to follow you. And we've all met people who say things like, well, I tried believing in God, but I didn't feel anything, right? Or they're on fire for the Lord until something bad happens. I knew a girl once who was on fire for the Lord, new believer, trying to lead her friends to the Lord, this and that. And then she comes down with some kind of terrible illness, and it's all, she fell completely away. We need to understand that God is so great that whether he meets our needs the way we think he should, or he takes us through trials that we don't think we can endure, whatever, we are in awe of him. And that says, and that helps us to say, Lord, I will follow you. I will follow you not because you're my great psychotherapist in the sky, not because you're the omnipresent Santa Claus, but because you are God. You are King of the universe. You are the creator of all things. You are the sustainer of all things. You're my Messiah. You're the one who died. You're the one who overcame death. What's stronger than death? Messiah is stronger than death. The life of God is stronger than death, and we need to be in awe of that. In today's Torah portion, we read about the Nazirite, the one who willingly, out of awe for who God is, out of gratitude for what God has done, takes upon themselves the vow of the Nazirite. They're going to separate themselves. They're not going to cut their hair. They're not going to drink strong drink. They're not going to eat anything from the vine because they are separated for that time period to be holy to the Lord. And it says this in Numbers 6, verse 6 through 8. All the days that he separates himself to the Lord, he shall not go near a dead body. The dead body is, you contract uncleanness, not sin. It's not sin, but uncleanness. You can't go into the sanctuary in a state of uncleanness. And it's a symbol of being set apart for the Lord only, that they couldn't touch a dead body. Okay, we can handle this. That's not so bad so far. But then, not even for his father or for his mother, for brother or sister, if they die, shall he make himself unclean, because his separation to God is on his head. All the days of his separation, he is holy to the Lord. You're holy to the Lord. I'm holy to the Lord. We're separated to the Lord. set apart for the Lord is what that means. And that is more important than anything else. Your emotional needs being met. It's more important than your parents and your siblings, even your children and your spouse. The Lord is more awesome. He is too awesome. He's too holy for us to say, okay, Lord, I need to take time out from following you because my family member died and I need to be consoled and I need that. No, the Lord is holy and the Lord is above all that, and we need to be in fear and in awe of him. When Yeshua is approached by the disciple who wants to first bury his father before following Yeshua, Yeshua is saying, no, I'm above that. You don't understand. You want to follow me like I'm some kind of itinerant rabbi. I'm not an itinerant rabbi. I'm not just a prophet that can be put on hold. God cannot just be put on hold. Lord, let me get my needs met first, then I'll come follow you. No, Lord, I am so in awe of you that I will follow you. There are families today that have been split apart that would still be together if it weren't for the fact that somebody became a believer in the household. Muslim families, somebody says, I believe the Lord. Depending on where they are, they might be killed for that. I believe in Yeshua. You might be killed for that. And some are. I've accepted Jesus in a Muslim household. If you're not killed, you're probably going to be kicked out of that household if they're zealous Muslims, right? And yet, the Lord is worth it. In Orthodox Jewish houses, there are Orthodox Jews, Orthodox Jewish mothers, who can't see their children anymore because they've claimed to believe in Yeshua the Messiah. Can't even see their children anymore. The Orthodox community won't let them near them anymore. Yeshua is worth it, as hard as that is, as much emotional turmoil as that is. And here's the imbalance. If we say that my faith is about my emotional needs being met, then when they stop being met, I start to think God's not worth it anymore. If it's a self-centered faith, Lord, meet this need. Lord, meet that need. Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that. And it's not balanced out with, Lord, I'm just in awe of who you are. Then we start to weigh things. Well, he's supposed to be meeting my needs. I don't feel like he really is. Heck with this. I'm going to go bury my father. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go do that. No, the Lord is holy and the Lord is awesome. The Lord will meet your needs. Maybe not in the timing you want. Rarely in the way that you and I want. The end result of our faith in him is not for us to just be happy. It's for us to be mature and for us to bring glory to his name. At the end of the book of Yohanan, John chapter 21, Yeshua is having a conversation with Peter. He keeps asking, Peter, do you love me? We all know this portion, right? Peter, do you love me? Yes, you know that I love you, Lord. Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Do you love me? And then it says this, Yeshua says this to Peter in verse 18 and 19. Truly, truly, I say to you, speaking to Peter, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him the same thing he said to the man that wanted to go bury his father first. He said, follow me. Follow me. Lord, there's something terribly wrong here because I don't think that my emotional needs are going to be met in my dying for you. No, you follow the Lord. You are in awe of who this is. You are in love with it. You love God so much that you have something worth dying for. You know what's worse than than all these things we get upset over. One of the tragedies of human life is not having something to believe in so strongly that you're willing to die for it. To not believe that there's something greater than your life. There's something greater than our life, something greater than our emotional needs, and that is God. And that is the fact that He's the Creator. It's the fact that He is the Faithful One. He's the Sustainer. He's the one that spread out the heavens and established the earth. He is the one that saved us by His death on the cross. He is the one that rose from the dead. This is not just, we shouldn't see this and think, wow, God, help me to be happy. This is, God, I am in love with You to the point where whether it brings life or it brings death, I will follow You. Lord, my prayer this morning is that You do meet our emotional needs. We want that. We need that. But Lord, that our faith not be all about that. That it not be this self-centered faith, God, meet this need, God, meet that need. But God, I am in awe of who You are. God, I am in love with who You are. God, I am thankful for what You've done for me, giving me life when before I had death. And Lord, You say, follow Me. And in following You, I might be brought into times of terrible trial. In following You, I will be brought into times of self-denial. And You are worth it, God. You are worth it. I'm not going to weigh whether my needs are being met or not on a balance and decide if You're worth it or not. You are worth it because You are holy. You are awesome. You are the Creator. You are the Sustainer. You are the one that poured out Your life for me. You are the one who rose from the dead. You are the one who poured out the Spirit of the living God into my being. Somehow, some way, You found me a worthy vessel of Your Spirit. Lord God, I thank You for all this. I am in awe of You, and I will follow You. In Yeshua's name, we all say, Amen.